just in the order here. Say that, and then do three gavels, then say that.
Yes. The House will come to order. Flag salute will be led by Representative Kotek.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Opening ceremony this morning will be presented by Bishop C.T. Wells from Emmanuel Temple Church in Portland, guest of Representative Shields. Bishop Wells.
Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father and our God, we thank you first this morning, and we honor you for all that you have done. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your sovereignty this morning. Today, as we come to this house chamber, we appeal for your mercy and your grace and guidance today. We ask your favor over our country and these United States of America. We pray for your continued guidance for our president and for all of those that are in authority. And we thank you that amidst the challenging financial times, you have still been gracious and merciful to us as a people. You have yet been faithful. So today we also ask for your favor on this house chamber. We thank you for your grace over the state of Oregon. We pray for our governor and for our leaders and for all of those that are in authority. And we ask for your continued guidance as well. Even in the midst of the challenges that we face, both at war abroad and challenges abroad, and even as we have mentioned the financial challenges that we face, we yet count on your guidance. We count on your mercy. We count on your trust and your love. There are so many today that are going without, that don't have the necessary means to provide for themselves, but you provide for us. And so today, as the house comes to assemble, I'm reminded of the challenges that Jehoshaphat faced, where he did not know what to do, but his eyes were upon you. So as the house comes together to assemble today, there may be many challenges that we face that we may not know what to do, where we must count on your wisdom and your guidance and your knowledge. For lastly, we're reminded of the powerful passage in Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse 3, where it says that if we would commit our works unto you, our thoughts shall be established. And so as this house assembles today, we commit every work into your hands, for we are confident that you will establish our thoughts. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Courtesies. For our moment in history this morning, Representative Harker. Representative Harker, for our moment in history.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry I was stuck in the present there for a moment. Actually, it's an issue I have with this moment in history because I can easily remember this. It seems like faux history, but we'll make a stretch. This sesquicentennial history minute is from the Oregon Encyclopedia, statewide project supported by Portland State Oregon Historical Society, etc. And this minute is written by Valerie Brown. It's about Paul Revere and the Raiders, not the one on the East Coast, but the band that combined a punchy garage rock sound, Revolutionary War costumes, and a deceptive wholesomeness into a cocktail eagerly consumed by young fans and the music industry in the mid-60s. The group put Oregon and the Pacific Northwest on the rock music map. Remembering their costumes, I was hard-pressed to wear a suit today, but I decided to leave the bell-bottoms and headgear at home. Organist Paul Revere Dick met Eugene-born singer Mark Lindsay working in a bakery in Idaho in 1958, perhaps one of the original Idaho stops, when he was forming a band called the Downbeats. The band soon moved to Oregon, adopted the name Paul Revere and the Raiders, and by 61 they had six members and a top 40 hit with Like Long Hair. In 1963, they recorded their recording of Louie Louie, competed for the top spot with that of another band, Oregon band that is, the Kingsmen, whose rendition remains the iconic version, Truth. As the first rock band signed to the Columbia Music label, the Raiders were the darlings of pop TV, from Dick Clark's Where the Action Is to Hullabaloo, maybe even on Shindig. They produced a flurry of memorable songs such as Kicks, one of my favorites, Him or Me, What's It Gonna Be, and Hungry. But by the late 60s, they were overwhelmed by the psychedelic era, as were many, and the counterculture, and the band gradually faded from the charts. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Harker. Courtesies. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I would like you to please join me in welcoming and extending courtesies of the House to Pastor C.T. Wells, who gave the invocation. Pastor Wells presides over a very vibrant congregation in my district in North and Northeast Portland, Emmanuel Temple Church, which does a truly incredible job of providing for the spiritual and physical needs of so many of my constituents. Please welcome Pastor C.T. Wells. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Representative Shields. For the courtesies, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it's a really good day in the House today. I have two honorary pages, if you'd please stand. Laura Rasmussen, and both of these ladies are from Sublimity Middle School and in the eighth grade. Laura enjoys volleyball, music, and free writing. I was very intrigued by that. Second, we have Lainey Bryan, and she, also from Sublimity Middle School, enjoys basketball, volleyball, and music. These ladies were on the same volleyball team together. And she's considering pursuing music as a vocation. So please welcome them and all of our pages.
And welcome to Oregon House. Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, have an honorary page. Allison, will you stand up? Colleagues, I want you to welcome Allison Burke. Allison is from Tigard. She attends Tuolumne Middle School. She's in eighth grade. And she plays the violin and likes orchestra, drama, and tennis. And tennis will come in handy when she's taking her days off for her future career goal. She would like to be a doctor. So please welcome Allison Burke.
Welcome to Oregon House. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to see if you would be willing to extend courtesies to Alonzo Anguiano, an eighth grader at Leslie Middle School who's interested in art and wants to be a real estate agent one day.
Further courtesies, Representative David Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, please join me in extending courtesies of the House to my honorary page, Jeff Welke, who hails from my alma mater, Brown Middle School in Hillsboro, Oregon. He enjoys playing the piano and oboe and reading science fiction and aspires to be an aerospace engineer. Welcome to the House, Jeff.
And we'd like to thank all of our honorary pages today for your service to the Oregon State House of Representatives. Thanks for coming. Hope you enjoy your day. Further courtesies, Representative Greenleg.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to invite my colleagues to offer courtesies of the House to Professor Don Austin, who's sitting up in the gallery here, standing up there. Don is one of the world's foremost experts on the epidemiology of tobacco-related diseases and in smoking reduction programs, and was here this morning to help me as I introduced an amendment to make cigarettes a prescription-only product. Don, thanks for coming, and please welcome him when you see him.
And thank you for your service, and enjoy your day in the Oregon House. Further courtesies, Representative Barton. Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to invite, not necessarily my constituent, a friend of mine and an inspiration, Dick McQueen. Dick, will you stand up? Dick is actually a Sandy resident, and was a science teacher for 34 years. He's currently a children's health activist and an inspiration to us all. So please welcome Dick.
Welcome to your Oregon House. Thanks for your service. Further courtesies, Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like you to extend courtesies today to the leadership class from Central Lynn High School in the rear gallery. They're here looking for ways to replace all of us, and it looks like they might have the skills to do it. Please welcome them to the House today.
And welcome to the Oregon House. Further courtesies, Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would like to extend courtesies to Dick McQueen, who is my constituent, even though Mr. Barton, the gentleman from East Clackamas County and I share a border. I would like to let you know that Dick McQueen is a tireless worker for causes he believes in, and I was very fortunate to have him as one of my supporters.
Are there any further courtesies? Any further courtesies? And folks, we have a couple colleagues that are celebrating their birthdays with us today, so we'd like to extend our birthday courtesies to Representative Barker and Representative Cameron, both not here presently, but will be. Representative Cameron's excused on his birthday. Representative Barker is in the building. Any further courtesies? Verification of quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. Representative Bailey. Representative Bailey is present. And Representative Cameron is excused. Representative Shields, Representative Roblin. Excused for business of the House. All other members are present. Messages from the Governor. Messages from Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bill 94-631, House Bills 2190, 2326, and concurred in the House amendments to repass Senate Bill 155.
First reading, memorials, and resolutions. Standing committee reports. Committee reports. The report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of the House bills. Second reading of the House bills.
House Bill 2082 relating to conservation districts. House Bill 2182 relating to small-scale local energy projects. House Bill 2188 relating to mortgage transactions. House Bill 2211 relating to soil enhancing products. House Bill 2268 relating to requirements for customer authorization of motor vehicle repairs. House Bill 2433 relating to health insurance and declaring an emergency.
Bills read second time are passed to third reading. Consent calendar. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2212 relating to State Department of Agriculture, control methods and appropriating money.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2212A. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This House Bill 2212A comes to you from the House Committee on Agriculture, Natural Resources and Rural Communities. The intent of this bill is to streamline, reorganize, and update Oregon's plant quarantine and noxious weed laws. Our laws, when they were originally designed, basically dealt with tansy ragwort.
Excuse me, Representative Clem. There's a lot of noise on the floor. Colleagues, please, Representative Clem, continue.
I thought my mention of tansy ragwort would do the trick. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Anyway, this bill basically helps add in other noxious weeds and plant quarantines portions to our statute. There's one minor issue that our eagle-eyed colleague from, he's from Wilsonville, the representative from Wilsonville caught in committee. I just want to read a letter for those of you who get excited about fees. There is a fee change inside this bill. Currently, a temporary nursery license costs $5. Garden clubs and horticulture classes need these licenses for their plant sales. The department loses money on these licenses. The bill would allow the department to recover its costs up to $50. The department director, in lieu of concerns by committee members about a fee increase during this particular biennium, has written a letter that I've got a copy of on my desk, and she has indicated that the Department of Agriculture has committed to not raise the temporary nursery sale license fee during the 09-11 biennium, and they will wait until the 11-13 biennium before having rulemaking to consider raising the fee for temporary nursery sale license. Other than that, good bill should pass. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Clem, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Representative Springer votes aye. House Bill 22A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2304, relating to corporate mergers.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2304. Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2304 is a fairly technical fix that I would love to assure my colleagues is not as substantively significant as it might seem upon first reading. This bill, it changes the form, the procedure of short-form mergers. A short-form merger is the process in which a parent company can merge efficiently with a subsidiary in which it owns more than 90%. This bill will change that procedure in conformity with the Model Corporations Act, as well as the laws of Delaware and New York. This will not prejudice minority shareholders' rights in any way, shape, or form, as they still have the right to either rescission or other compensation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, some of you have asked why I voted no on this bill in committee, and I just wanted to let you know I don't feel, you know, real strongly about this, so feel free to vote one way or the other. But I just wanted to explain to you that my concerns about it. Generally, when mergers happen, the result is often layoffs for Oregonians and others, and I just didn't see a compelling need to make it easier for companies to merge in a more quick fashion and thereby lay off more workers. So that was the basis, and that's why I voted no.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barton, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will now open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Representative Gilliam votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Representative Nolan votes aye. House Bill 2304, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2325, relating to personal injury protection benefits.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2325A. Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I assure you, colleagues, that you are almost done with me for the day. Hold your applause, please. This bill, House Bill 2325, is almost as interesting as the previous short-form merger bill. It relates to personal injury protection, and currently Oregon law provides that an auto insurance company pays personal injury protection benefits for the benefit of its insured. The PIP insurance company has the first right of reimbursement for those benefits. Reimbursement to the PIP insurance company is required if the injured insured receives compensation from the tortfeasor or from the tortfeasor's liability insurance company. The injured person can only retain the compensation if his damages exceed the PIP benefits paid by the PIP insurance company. The only exception to the current reimburse the insurance company first law is when the injured person has economic damages that exceed the amount of the PIP benefits paid. This bill will delete the word economic so that the injured person can retain the benefits if the damages exceed the amount of the PIP benefits paid. It's a good bill. I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion. Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you can see, I was the only one nay vote on this, and the reason that vote is there, it came from the trial lawyers and the insurance companies both stated that insurance rates will go up upon passage of this bill because we're opening up their liability to higher amounts. And the trial lawyers, they testified that they were looking at about $60 a year in their first testimony. Then they came back and were trying to say different later on, but that's what they had testified in the first hearing. And the insurance company said that the PIP would be going up. This is the second bill we've had on PIP insurance. We passed the first one, and it flew through here, and this is the second one that's going to be attacked on PIP. Currently, Washington doesn't even require PIP coverage. The state of Oregon does require PIP coverage, and with the downturn in the economy right now, I think increasing another fee on motorist is not a good deal. So I urge your nay vote.
Is there further discussion? Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, from time to time, it's a good idea to review laws that are in place to see whether or not they're functioning as they were intended to function. Oregon requires that we have automobile insurance. As part of that coverage, we have personal injury protection, which is like no-fault insurance for medical and wage loss. It's in all of our policies. And so we have that in case we get into a crash and it's not our fault, or maybe even it is our fault. You still have this benefit so that you can get medical care and some wage protection while you're recuperating. Oregon, in the course of the way it's designed this coverage, has set it up so that if you are injured by someone else's carelessness and your PIP insurance immediately pays for those medical benefits that you incur, and then you recover from the tortfeasor, which is the person who caused the crash, and they hopefully are insured as well. If there's a recovery from them, the way it's currently set up is even though we pay premiums for this personal injury protection coverage, that company, our own company that we pay the premiums to, they get paid first from the tortfeasor, the defendant, the other person's insurance company. So it's kind of an inside deal where one insurance company pays the other insurance company before the person gets anything that, and they're the ones that paid the premiums. And so all this does is it changes Oregon law to be in harmony with what you have in Washington State, which says that if the insured has paid premiums and bought this PIP coverage, which we all have, then the person who paid the coverage, for that coverage, should have the benefit from the person who caused the crash before the insurance company gets the benefit. It makes a lot of sense to me. It makes sense to consumers, and it's a good thing for us to do at this time. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barton, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, of course, cannot match the representative from Southern Oregon in eloquence. I do have a couple statistics regarding the potential premium increase. Washington is a make-whole state in this regard, and this law will not actually... So even though this bill, if enacted, will not make Oregon a make-whole state, the evidence shows that in the state of Washington, for $5,000 of PIP coverage, there is a 5-cent increase per month, or 60 cents per year. This is a good bill. I urge its aye vote.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2325A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2331, related to driving while under the influence of intoxicants, diversion.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2331A. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2331 comes from your Committee on the Judiciary. The bill would extend the period of ineligibility to participate in a diversion program from the current 10 years to 15 years after a second conviction for driving under the influence of intoxicants. We need to prevent offenders from escaping criminal sanctions for repeated dangerous conduct by engaging in diversion for a second or even a third time. House Bill 2331 has no fiscal or revenue impact. It is a good bill and deserves your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to vote against House Bill 2331, and I want to explain why. There is no question that alcohol addiction is a chronic relapsing brain disorder. People get better, and even when they're really better, they occasionally relapse. As the bill is now, if somebody relapses inside of 10 years, they can't be referred to diversion. And this somehow moves that magic 10 years to 15 years, I think without much evidence that there is a real problem here. I think somewhere along the line we need to believe in redemption. And somewhere along the line we need to understand that recovery is a complicated process. And if somebody has been clean and sober for 10 years and then fails and gets another DUI, it seems to me perfectly appropriate to allow that person to be in diversion if the judge feels that diversion is the proper treatment. Moving it from 10 years to 15 years seems like enormously dealing with a problem that's not there. And I would urge you to think seriously about what we're doing here and consider voting no. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barker, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill was a compromise. This came from the Governor's Task Force on Drunk Driving. Originally, it was to allow only one diversion in a lifetime. This stretched it out to 15 years. There were several examples of people who had repeated drunk driving offenses shortly after 10 years, and then they could go to diversion again. This isn't about falling off the wagon and failing the whole thing. This is about drunk drivers. This is about killing innocent families that are driving down the highways. This is a good bill and deserves your aye vote. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cannon, how do you vote? Representative Cannon votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Huffman, how do you vote? Representative Huffman votes aye. House Bill 2331A, having received the Constitution majority, is declared passed. Representative Comp, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to return to courtesies.
Representative Comp requests unanimous consent. The rules be suspended. Courtesies of the House and floor be extended. Yes. Are there any objections? Hearing none. Representative Comp, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it's my honor and privilege to introduce you to students from Highland Elementary. They are up in the gallery right here behind us. It is their day to visit the Capitol and make sure that they know that this is their home, too. And so I appreciate you welcoming them with their teacher, Chelsea Fuller. They're fifth graders.
Welcome to your Oregon House of Representatives. Further courtesies? Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2414, relating to elections.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2414A. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2414A provides for cross-nomination of political candidates. It will allow candidates who are nominated by more than one political party to choose a maximum of three party identifiers to be printed next to their names on the general election ballot. This bill brings Oregon law into greater agreement with federal law as it relates to the recognition of state party committees that seek to support federal candidates nominated by one or more political parties. During the 2008 cycle, we saw a number of candidates receive the nominations of multiple parties, yet they were limited to choosing only one party nomination to include next to their name on the ballot and in the voter's pamphlet. House Bill 2414A clarifies existing state law and settles, to the satisfaction of all parties concerned, the legal dispute between the Secretary of State and some minor political parties and their candidates who sought in 2008 to have cross nominations printed on the Oregon ballot and in the Oregon voters pamphlet. Now, I should note, colleagues, that this bill is not a fusion voting bill. In fusion voting, each political party has its own ballot line and one candidate may be listed multiple times. Under this bill, each candidate's name is printed only once, but up to three nominating parties of the candidate's choosing, and that's a very important point. The candidate must decide that she or he wants to have the parties listed on the ballot next to her or his name. Up to three parties may be printed on the candidate's ballot line. The Oregon Association of County Clerks assures us that the change proposed by House Bill 2414A can be accommodated by existing election software in all 36 counties, so the cost of the bill can be absorbed into existing budgets. Finally, the bill, as amended, also directs the Secretary of State to conduct a review of the adoption of a cross-nomination system in Oregon and report back to the legislature. The Secretary of State was supportive of this amendment and the bill in general. Please join me today in supporting House Bill 2414A for a healthier democracy. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further discussion? Representative Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I voted no in committee. I will be voting yes on the floor here today. I wanted to explain that. Lane County, my county, is the only county in the state that has a different software program than all the other counties for printing their ballots. And while I have been supportive of this concept from the beginning, when I received a sample from Lane County about what that ballot would look like, I was not convinced that it was not confusing because it had the names of the parties run together separated simply by a slash in between each party name. To me, that was not clear enough or to my liking. Since then, Lane County Elections has produced another sample that is much more clear to me. Each of the party names will be separated by a comma and a space. To me, it looks clear, and I no longer have concerns about the clarity of what the ballots would look like under this proposal, and so I will be supporting it as I have always supported it in concept. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Call.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise today in opposition to this bill. I understand and support the goal of bringing more people, more ideas into the political process, but I do not think that this bill effectuates that result. In fact, I think it hinders it. Endorsement or nomination conventions put public debate behind closed doors, put public debate outside of the public eye. The political process is necessarily adversarial, and at times it is not very pretty. And when we come into this building, of course, the public expects for us to put our partisan differences aside and work together towards achieving great public good. But when we are in election season, when we are competing against each other, not just to hold elected office, but competing in a marketplace of ideas for a position of dominance in that marketplace, it is important that all ideas have an opportunity to express themselves and that they be fully vetted before the public eye. This bill takes that necessary public debate and puts it behind closed doors, or rather has the capacity to do that. I think that there are very real differences that exist between parties. And at the extreme, this bill could have a Republican candidate with a Democratic nomination on a ballot, or a Democratic candidate with a Republican nomination on a ballot. And I think that that undermines the political process, because although we put partisan differences aside when we come into this building and work to achieve the public good, outside of this building, in that marketplace of ideas, we are necessarily adversaries on so many fronts, and it does a disservice to the public to put that adversary process aside under the guise of actually bringing greater ideas into this process. And for that reason, I oppose this bill, and I encourage you all to oppose it as well. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Buckley, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, colleagues, thank you for the discussion on this bill and your consideration of the concept behind it. Just a response briefly to the idea of the marketplace of ideas. I actually think this bill will do a very good step forward in increasing the number of ideas, the ability for Oregonians to look at different political philosophies and say, how do these mix together? How do they separate from each other? What does the Working Family Party want? What does that party want? What does the Libertarian Party want? They don't have quite the same platform as the major political parties. I think it's very clear from the citizens of our state that there is and no disrespect to anyone on this floor, but there's certain dissatisfaction with the brands of just the major political parties, that we are not shaking up the political process enough to get new ideas, fresh ideas, into our political arena on a regular basis. So on that basis alone, I encourage us to take this step to see what it is like if we can get engagement from people who are not members of the two main parties in our state, to see if we can get engagement in state legislative and state senate races, to have that discussion between the ideas and the passions and the aspirations of a greater number of Oregonians. And colleagues, finally, I'd like to call your attention to a letter on your desk that is signed by a number of our colleagues in the Senate. And if you look at the names along the side there of the sponsors on this bill, you see quite an all-star gallery of senators from all political points of view. So I would encourage your aye vote on this bill, and I look forward to the report back from the Secretary of State's office on how this is implemented and the impact that it will have on our elections. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, colleagues.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Huffman, how do you vote? Representative Huffman votes aye. House Bill 2414A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2529, related to crimes involving animals.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2529A. Representative Jefferson Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2529, co-sponsored by Representatives Gelser and Witt, championed by in judiciary by Representative Barton, modifies the procedures related to the seizures and forfeiture of criminally mistreated animals, authorizes an officer to apply for a search warrant and impound animals involved in animal fighting. Comes to the committee with a unanimous vote out of judiciary. It's a good bill, should pass.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Smith, do you wish to close?
I'm good. Thanks, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cowan, how do you vote? Representative Cowan votes aye. Representative Wisnett. Representative Wisnett votes aye. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Representative Barton votes aye. House Bill 2529A, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2623, relating to prison education programs.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2623A. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2623A comes to us with a unanimous vote out of the House Judiciary Committee. This bill is one of a series of bills brought forth by the Reentry Task Force here in Marion County. The focus of these bills is to increase the likelihood of success upon release and to reduce recidivism and improve public safety in our communities and throughout the whole state. It is considered another barrier buster. This bill would clarify that an inmate may earn good time for the completion of certain education or basic skills training. This applies only to eligible inmates, and they must maintain all good behavior status in all areas with Department of Corrections. It's been pointed out that this is one of few bills, colleagues, one of a few bills that have a reduction in expenditures this next budget cycle. But more importantly, this entire series of bills will be aimed at having a long-term positive impact on the safety of our communities and future public safety strengthening. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cameron, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Representative Gilliam votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Representative Thatcher votes aye. House Bill 2623A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2641, relating to online sexual corruption of a child.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2641A. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2641A comes to you from the House Judiciary Committee, where it was unanimously supported. The fiscal is minimal. This bill amends ORS 163-431 and 163-433, first and second degree online sexual corruption. And if you recall, during the 2007 session, House Bill 3515 was passed by the legislature to protect children from predatory advances through the Internet. With the advent of new technology come additional challenges in an effort to protect our children from sexual predators. House Bill 2641 addresses the issue of new technology by including all methods of transmission a predator may use: wire, radio, optical cable, cellular system, or other similar means. For example, last year, as a result of an incident involving a high school teacher and a female student, a principal asked if texting messages and photos could be added to the mentioned statutes. The local law enforcement agency was unable to take enforcement action due to the fact there was no crime. The teacher was eventually removed as a result of administrative issues. House Bill 2641 addresses a fast-growing communication problem. If you've been paying attention to the news, and Mr. Speaker requests the rules be suspension to use a visual aid.
Representative Olson requests the rules be suspended to use visual aids.
No, I'm not.
Is there objection? No objection.
Okay, good.
Proceed.
Hopefully I won't be getting any text messages here within just the next couple seconds, but anyways, what I wanted to share with you is on Sunday, November 16th, 2008, when I was down in Orlando, the Orlando Sentinel put out a huge article, three stories, about what was happening with sexting or sex texting. And in the story, of these three stories that are listed, there are 34 different incidents involving teachers. And one of the main ways that they started in the process where they got to being charged with a crime was the use of their cell phone. So we have a serious problem. It makes sense to add this to the current crime that we have, or current statutes that we have right now. And with that, I would urge an aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close?
I do not.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Representative David Edwards, how do you vote? Edwards votes aye. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes no. House Bill 2641A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2731, relating to pre-qualifications for public contracts.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2731. Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2731 comes out of our Business and Labor Committee, passed with unanimous consent. Could have been a candidate for the consent and calendar, but we're going to talk about it briefly today. It's common sense legislation that allows contracting agencies to work more cohesively and efficiently with contractors in the pre-qualification process. This bill provides for common sense change to a state law relates to the pre-qualification process for contractors in those agencies. Currently, the statute requires a hearing regarding disqualification, denial, revocation, or revision of a contractor's pre-qualification be held within 30 days. No matter what the reason may be, contracting agencies cannot entertain requests to extend the hearing date. What this bill will do is, if the agency and the contractor both agree, they can extend that date beyond the 30 days, giving them plenty of time, ample opportunity to prepare themselves for that hearing. It makes a great deal of sense. It had no opposition in the hearing, and it is very much common sense legislation, and I strongly urge your support.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Matthews, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Cameron, how do you vote? Cameron votes aye. Representative Hanna, how do you vote? Representative Hanna votes aye. Representative Barker votes aye. Representative Garrett votes aye. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. House Bill 2731, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 2762, relating to United States Armed Forces and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2762A. Representative Clem. Representative Clem.
Now I'm here. Good. They have nothing on this. Let's see what bill it is. There we go.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Got so excited about the Tansy Ragwort earlier, I forgot I was carrying another bill. House Bill 2762 designates May 8th of each year as Military Family Appreciation Day. We've got some exciting events planned around the state this particular May 8th, if this bill passes and becomes law. If it doesn't, I guess we'll cancel the Military Family Appreciation Day events we were considering having around the state. But pretty confident that this bill looks good in its current form, and I would encourage your aye support. And I believe I'm handing off to a co-carrier at this point.
The co-carrier, Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
My colleague had addressed May 8th is of each year we want to dedicate as a military day. So we sit through Veterans Committee service each and every week. We're hearing testimony from the last of the World War II veterans, and this last week we had veterans come in, Japanese war veterans, and they talked about how their families were put in concentration camps and different issues like that. And these are things that we can never forget, so we never go through any of these tragedies again, and we need to make sure we support our vets, we recognize our vets, and every chance we get to remember the sacrifices that they've made for this state and for this country. And this is just another way to do it, and I would urge everybody to vote aye on this bill. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Clem, do you wish to close?
No, I think I've done enough, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? Barnhart votes aye. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Barton votes aye. House Bill 2762A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2827, relating to child abuse.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2827. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and colleagues. If you could give me your ear for a few minutes here, I'd like to share with you a bill regarding statute of limitations that has been a difficult bill for me to work with for the past year, but it absolutely is a bill that makes sense as we move forward with. House Bill 2827 gives the victim a chance to seek justice. It changes the civil statute of limitations for actions based on conduct that constitutes child abuse or conduct knowingly allowing, permitting, or encouraging child abuse. Additionally, this bill requires that an action must be commenced before a claimant attains 40 years of age or not more than 5 years from the date the claimant discovered or in exercise of reasonable care should have discovered causal connection between child abuse and injury, whichever period is longer. About a year ago, I began paying attention to the need to extend the statute of limitations involving child abuse. Keep in mind, I'm referring to the civil side of this issue. I was contacted by a mother whose daughter had been sexually abused as a child by a family member. The daughter is now an adult and is having severe emotional problems from past abuse, but is unable to seek action in this case due to the current law. I have come to learn that many victims become aware of their injuries later in life. Unfortunately, many of these victims have no avenue to pursue the perpetrator due to the amount of time passed. Initially, I was skeptical about this issue because I felt that a person should clearly know before they turn age 40 if their past abuse had caused an injury. By injury, I mean psychological or emotional, besides the physical side of it. Currently, the law is not more than 6 years after the victim attains age 18 or within 3 years of the date the victim discovers or should have discovered the injury or the connection between the abuse and the injury. This past summer, I had the opportunity to talk with two victims who are now adults that were sexually abused as children. Both of these individuals were intelligent, career-oriented people with families. By all intents and purposes, they had it together. They explained to me how they did not connect the dots between their past abuse and their current emotional injuries until many years afterwards. They both remembered they were victims of abuse, feeling they had moved on and the past was not causing any problems now. But that was not the case for either one of the individuals. For example, a father in his early 50s explained how he became aware of his injuries when his son reached the age the dad was when he was abused. At that time, the father withdrew from his son, his family, and his marriage. He basically checked out. He later realized his current behavior was connected to the past abuse, connecting the dots. And Mr. Speaker, at this time, I'd like to just stop here for a moment, and I'll close giving additional information. Thank you.
Further discussion. Actually, the co-carrier, Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's an honor to be co-chairing and a co-chief sponsor of this legislation with my friend from Albany. I think he explained very clearly what this bill does, and I will not repeat any of that. I just want to reiterate that what this bill is about is a recognition that child abuse is a unique kind of injury, and it has effects, many of which may not be felt until much later in life. And the purpose of this legislation is to recognize that it may be many years before a victim fully recognizes the effects of abuse, and we need to make sure that those victims have access to justice, which the current statute of limitations may not provide. So we'd be happy to answer questions. I want to thank the representative from Albany for his hard work on this issue.
Further discussion, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I rise in support of the bill. To the bill. Rise in support of this bill. My first session down here in 2005, I tried to introduce legislation involving DID, or dissociative identity disorder. Whether or not you believe that's a legitimate diagnosis of a psychological situation, mental health issue, whatever, it's very real for those who have it. Some people know it by multiple personality. This bill gives these people a chance to revisit and get some justice for what was a terrible, terrible incident in their young lives. And whether or not you think this is legitimate, I'll repeat that, because some people do not. There are many, many cases of this, and it can be directly taken back to a childhood incident, usually under the age of five. And it's what people do when they're that young is how they deal with these terrible things. They just go away. And it can come back again, as the representative from Albany mentioned in his constituent's case, when the father's son reached the age at which he had experienced this abuse. Sometimes it is triggered by the birth of a baby, and sometimes it's triggered by something, a smell, a sight, whatever. But it's very real, and the people who wanted to go through this, even though it's painful, could not. So I would like to see no statute of limitations at all, but this bill is a very good bill. It gives these people a chance to heal. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In closing, I just want to make two points clear. This bill was written in response to a mother's plea to find justice for her daughter who was sexually abused as a child. Additionally, this bill that gives a victim a chance to seek justice for injuries they experienced earlier in life. I would urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger votes aye. Representative Comp, how do you vote? Comp votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Thatcher votes aye. House Bill 2827, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 3234, relating to clinical laboratories.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3234A. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is a bill that updates our statute to reflect current therapeutic techniques. As an example, a patient on anticoagulants will go to a laboratory fairly frequently and have their blood tested, and the result of that test will tell them how to adjust their medication, which they know how to do under modern treatment panels. However, by Oregon statute, even though the lab has the number that they need and is standing in front of them, they may not release that to them. They can only release it back to the physician. The patient then has to get an appointment with the physician, go get the number, and adjust their treatment, which may take days, and it should be done immediately in a lot of these kinds of cases. With this bill, the doctor can issue a standing order with the laboratory that the results of the patient's test are to be released to the patient at the time the test is done. The patient then modifies their medical therapy as they're trained to do, and everything moves forward. It takes a step out of the process. It does not, however, remove the doctor from the equation. The doctor must issue a letter or standing order for each patient or for a group of patients for this to happen. So it's done with the full knowledge of the physician. This was voted out of committee, a unanimous I vote, and I urge your support.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Thompson, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer votes aye. Representative Greenlich, how do you vote? Greenlich votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Jensen votes aye. House Bill 3234A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final readings, memorials, and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 94 relating to fingerprints requested by Director of Veterans Affairs. Senate Bill 631 relating to phosphate cleaning agents.
Bills read for the first time or passed the speakers asked for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 40 relating to surplus revenue refunds.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 40. Representative Bentz.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Senate Bill 40 comes to us from the House Committee on Revenue, where it received a unanimous vote. This bill is designed to return the law concerning Oregon tax credit for taxes paid to another state to its correct place, that of being subtracted from one's Oregon taxes before calculating the taxpayer's rights to a refund, such as the kicker. For example, if you owed $20 in tax to California and $80 to the state of Oregon, the taxes you paid to California would not count as part of your tax base in determining your share of the refund. This returns this part of the law to the way it was prior to 2007. It does not affect the amount of the kicker, and I ask for your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Bentz, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Senate Bill 40, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. So, colleagues, with this motion, we'll carry over the last bill on our agenda until tomorrow. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the bill remaining on today's third reading of Senate bills calendar be carried over to its proper place on Wednesday, April 1st, 2009's third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Other business of the House? Other business of the Senate? Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to request the rules be suspended so that Representative Gelzer may have an opportunity to change her vote on House Bill 2414A. The change will not affect the outcome.
Representative Hanna requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to allow Representative Gelzer to change her vote on House Bill 2414A. Is there objection? So ordered. Representative Gelzer, how do you vote? Gelzer votes aye. Further announcements? Remonstrances? Representative Gelzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today is an important day for a whole lot of reasons, but two of them. This is the last day of March, which has been Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month in the state of Oregon, and today is also the day of a national movement that's been put together by the Special Olympics, and there are rallies being held as we speak at schools organized by children all over America, spread the word to end the word. And the word that we are talking about is a word that some people call the R word, but it goes to phrases that maybe you've heard. That is so retarded. I can't believe how dumb that was. Or, you are such a retard. I cannot believe that you said that thing. This is a word that is extraordinarily offensive to people with developmental disabilities and intellectual disabilities. So offensive, in fact, that the national organization serving this population that was originated as the Association for Retarded Citizens, at the request of self-advocates across the country, changed its name to simply the ARC, because they did not want that word, because it had become so pejorative in our language, to be applied any longer. And that's why today we refer to this disability as a developmental disability or an intellectual disability. Unfortunately, in a recent study, 92% of American students reported having heard the use of this word in a derogatory way over the course of the past month. I have heard it used here in this building, along with things like, did you arrive at this hearing in the short bus? Our own president, President Obama, recently on an evening show derided the Special Olympics, stating that it was like he was bowling in the Special Olympics. So still in our language today, we find it acceptable to demean and degrade people who experience developmental and intellectual disabilities. And this is why the Special Olympics has asked that today Americans take a pledge to put an end to this language, to end the use of the R word. You can visit the website, which is called therword.org. You can sign a pledge. You can talk to your students. You can talk to your children. And please join me in helping to call one another when we use this language. Nobody means it to hurt or harm anyone, but it is a deeply hurtful, deeply harmful word that does hurt very real people. So thank you for indulging me as Oregon does its part. There are three other states that actually had resolutions today about ending the use of this word in their states, and in Oregon we've done that through a remonstrance. Thank you very much.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, April 1, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves that the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. on Wednesday, April 1, 2009. Without objection, the House adjourns.